think you can realize we're continuing our theme of unexpected. The kids did great with that. I did open all those boxes and glue them back together. Yes, I did. So, how many of you are familiar with the TV show The Voice? A few people? Kinda. I'm not super familiar, but here's how it works. I tend to like the very first step of it. So The Voice is a TV show about singers. And they are auditioning to be on the team with the celebrity that's gonna judge and coach them till the end of the series. But the very first round is they audition for the show where they cannot be seen. The judges and the coaches can't see them. They are in a chair that faces the wrong way. And then if they like the person's voice, they say, yes, I want you on my team. And then their chairs turn around and it's very dramatic. But the point is that they sing without being seen. So whatever they look like, whatever their, you know, charisma or all those things that happen on stage is not part of what picks them. It is just their voice. And this can lead to some very surprising reactions from the judges because people's singing voices do not always match what they look like. So sometimes you'll get this big burly man who has this beautiful high tenor voice and you turn around and you're like, oh, okay. Or you have a very mature, practiced voice and you turn around and it's like a 13-year-old. And the judge is like, ugh. Right? They're unexpected. We're surprised what is seen. The talent that these people have is not shown on them outside. And we know this. We know this, but we do this all the time anyway. We make snap judgments on people based on whatever we notice about them first. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Our brains need to categorize stuff. We're just going to sometimes get it wrong. So we do a lot of judgings. We're going to be like your clothes or your education level or your job based on your accent or all of these things. We're just going to make these assumptions. And sometimes we're right and sometimes we're wrong, right? Usually with the candy in the boxes, you're going to be right. But sometimes maybe you're going to be wrong. The one who is never surprised or shocked, of course, who knows what talents people really do have, who they really are on the inside, is God. God knows things about me that you all don't know about me, and God knows things about you that the rest of us don't know about you. And sometimes God will put someone into a role or a job or a call or a relationship or all of these things where everyone's like, really, that person? Like LinkedIn would say, not a good choice. The hiring guys would be like, no. A coach would be like, we're not putting this kid in at this point in the game, right? Like we would not do that, but God does do these. God tends to do these the most. I think God likes to do that. The unexpected choices, the ones who surprise us and yet with God's help succeed. So today we're going to look at some of those unexpected people God chose in the Christmas story and how that God equipped them so that when we look back, hindsight 2020, like we talked about last week, it makes sense that God would pick them. Obviously they were the good choice. But when you were in it, you're like, that guy? Are you serious? Because God was able to see more than we could see. And that hopefully we will be able to connect that same thing happens to us. That we too are usually more than we can see. So I'm hoping everyone who was here last week, I hope you remember the unexpected video that we watched. If you need me to send out the email link again, I am happy to do so. One of the things that the angels, the little angels, were incredulous about, right, was that Jesus, the Prince of Heaven, was going to be born to a peasant girl and not to a royal family. Someone as powerful and important as the Son of God should obviously have the same sort of prestige on earth. But that was not what happened. Jesus is born not into a royal family, but to a poor one, a normal one, a peasant one, an unexpected one, a family that nobody thought or saw as anything unique, a family that God empowered and equipped to fulfill a very specific task. So we have a picture of Mary, kind of the classic picture of Mary, right? So if you come, Mary is an incredibly important part of the Christmas story. And if you come from a Catholic or Orthodox background, Mary, the Theotokos, the Greek name for her, the God-bearer, is very important. She is revered, has an intimate relationship with Christ as Christ's mother that nobody else will ever have. And in art and in prayers, she's revered in this way. It's hard to think of this woman as a normal peasant girl, because this is how art has portrayed her for 2,000 years. And even if you grew up in a Protestant view that didn't revere Mary very highly, she's still important, right? You still, like, pretend to be her in the Christmas pageant and set up little figurines of her around your house every year at Christmas, right? Like, Mary is still important. She doesn't seem like she would just be a normal mom, like you would find at an elementary school drop-off line or at daycare or something. But she was, as far as we know, she was just an unexpected choice to be the mother of Jesus. She was young. She wasn't married yet. She didn't have a lot of life experience. The Bible doesn't tell us anything about her family background, so we're going to assume not a priestly family, not a royal family, just kind of a family. She's just a person. Nothing to set her apart from other people, which does not mean she's not special. It just means she's special like all of us are special. It would have made more sense for Elizabeth and Zechariah, probably, to have had the Messiah. Maybe at least a little more sense in my mind. They're an older couple and married, so there's that. They've had more life experience. Zechariah was a priest, so he would have had different access, different ways of teaching this new baby how to connect and worship God. And since they were married and barren, the miracle child would be a miracle and bring joy and not shame. But God gave Elizabeth and Zechariah a different miracle child, and they raised John the Baptist. And Mary, young unmarried peasant woman, she was given the Messiah. An incredibly unexpected choice that even she is surprised with. So Joseph, her husband, is also an unexpected choice. This is a classic picture of Saint Joseph and baby Jesus. He probably wasn't quite that old. But we don't actually know much about Joseph either. Luke tells us almost nothing, except that he's distantly from the line of King David, which is why they have to go to Bethlehem for the census. So just kind of a craftsman in the village. No one in Nazareth looked at Mary and Joseph as a couple and saw anything out of the ordinary, except maybe that they couldn't wait till marriage. There's always that. We can assume they had friends and family and parents and siblings in the town. And I can tell you as a sister that if one of my siblings was like, I think God has called me to have a miracle baby that is God's son, I'd be like, I don't think so. I think you need to go get a job. And I love my siblings. But we don't assume that about the people we know really well, right? Anyone in your family that you, if they said this, you would be like, that makes sense. Or you'd be like, there's some stuff about you that I'm not sure God would pick you for that job. And no one else on the journey to Bethlehem picks up on it either. Nobody they meet notices they're anybody besides just a normal pregnant couple. They needed angels and divine signs to show that they were more. Even Joseph needed that divine sign to realize they were more. So I want to stress this point. Because Mary and Joseph are held up in that place of prestige in these old paintings and in every year when we come back to these texts, that they are special and unique and chosen people who raise the Son of God, and they are. But they are also normal people like us. I don't think if they were alive now and came to our church, I don't think we would notice anything out of the ordinary. I think they would be kind. I think they would be present. I think they would be attentive parents. But I don't think we would be like, you, God has chosen for this specific task out of everybody in the world. That's why I like this picture so much. There should be a picture of Mary and Joseph from kind of this one. I don't know how well y'all can see it. It's called Maria and Jose, or Jose and Maria. And that's a little more what it would have been like. The signs are all there. The closer you look at it, they look, the ads at the gas station make them look like they have halos. She's sitting on a donkey. That's one of those things you put the coins in so they moves. They're trying to get, there's a no vacancy sign at David City Motel behind them. It's all there, but it's way more normal. Way more we would pass them by. We wouldn't notice who they were. Nothing special about them. They're just people down on their luck trying to make it somewhere for the night. Just like us. But what is different about Mary and Joseph, part of what God knows about them that they didn't necessarily know, is that their faith was very strong. They believed what God told them, even though it seemed impossible. Mary and Joseph decided that they were going to follow the path God had laid before them, even though it didn't make sense and was like the most unexpected thing that could have ever happened to them. And we too have that option. We can follow God into those unexpected things. And we are surprised by God, but we are also sustained by God. So scripture tells us, this is Hebrews 11:1, that faith is the reality of what we hope for and the proof of what we don't see. Much ink has been spilled on Mary's faith and her almost instant accepting of the message the angel brings to her. After hearing the message, she responds with, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And I have always wondered if one of the reasons Mary trusted so quickly was because she was young. When you're young, you're like, yeah, that'll work out. It's fine. We're just going to make it work. It's going to be fine. It's when you get a little older that you're like, will this work? But she is right. God does equip her and empower her to be Jesus's mother. But Joseph has faith too, and Joseph is not quite as young. We're not sure exactly how old he is, but he's older than Mary. So I think this picture is the same name as that one with old Joseph and the baby that we saw earlier. Saint Joseph and Jesus. And Joseph is, his response is not quite as instant. His response of faith is not quite as instantaneous as Mary's, but it's just as genuine. Joseph is actually one of my favorite characters in the Bible, even though we know almost nothing about him. One of the things we do know, and this is from Matthew and not Luke, is that Joseph is considered righteous. This is translated as just if you read it in the King James. Not many people in Scripture are called righteous, tzaddik in Hebrew. One of the only ones is Noah, which is Genesis 6:9. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Being called righteous in Scripture doesn't mean you are a by-the-book rule follower, which is what a lot of us would assume. Someone who is considered righteous according to Scripture is someone who lives by and fulfills the law to its spirit more than to its letter. Someone who is righteous lives with faith that God's word is true and makes decisions based on that truth. Someone who is righteous walks with God, and Joseph is a righteous man. That is why Matthew tells us that Joseph is trying to divorce Mary quietly. The law of the Torah said he could, stone her, do a lot more. But to be a righteous man, you do that a little different. But Joseph gets a vision from the angel instead. And Joseph takes what he knows about God and puts it into this surprising context of his fiance being pregnant with the child of God, and affirmed by a vision, and follows what the law says in spirit, and raises the child. A godly man acting in faith that God will fulfill all he said to both Mary and Joseph. Joseph is an unexpected choice until you see inside the candy box. and realize that Joseph is a righteous man who God will sustain through this call. I remember a professor when I was in school talking about Joseph once, the impact of Joseph, because he kind of drops out of the story. He's not in anywhere else. They kind of think he may have died before Jesus' ministry because he's just not mentioned anymore. And my professor said that the book of James in the New Testament, which is written by Jesus' brother James, is actually the book in the Bible that sounds the most like Jesus with the least direct quotations of Jesus. Sounds a lot like the Sermon on the Mount, but yet isn't quite the same. And he wondered, he was pondering. He goes, I wonder if instead of James sounding like Jesus, if both James and Jesus sound like their dad. What if they both sound like Joseph? What if this righteous man is the one that God equipped to teach his son how to be a man of God? One of the most important jobs out there. Joseph and Mary were unexpected people to raise Jesus, at least on the outside. But God knew who they were, things that we don't know about them, that Scripture has not recorded. And we know that God would have equipped them to do this job in a way that, because they had faith to do it. And we too are called by God to be part of the kingdom, to have tasks, to do this work. But sometimes we may feel like the odd choice. Do you ever feel like there's really not that much special about you? Do you ever feel like you look at your history of what you have done or haven't done with some shame or some regret? Do you look at Mary and Joseph and their faith and you're like, yeah, that couldn't be me. I doubt God like every other minute. No one's going to be out here talking less about me. Why would God choose me? Why am I the one doing this project in this community with this people? I don't have X, whatever that is, whether it's money or knowledge or insight or degrees or experience or whatever it is. And you just look at this and you're like, I cannot be the best choice, right? LinkedIn would never pick me for this. Or God, I really don't want to. I don't want to lead here. I don't want to serve here. I don't want to love here. I would be a very unexpected choice to do this, even in my own mind. But God likes to pick those of us that say that. God likes to pick those of us who are normal and empower us into more. Those who are easily passed over. Those who have nothing special about them. Those who would not be picked out in a crowd. Those are the ones God sees and knows and loves and chooses to do amazing things. Did you catch what the psalmist wrote this morning? This is verses 4-6. What are humans that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands and you have put all things under their feet. Humans, all of us, are an odd, unexpected choice. What are humans that you are mindful of us? You would think the God of the universe has better things to do than intimately walk with me every day. You would think that dominion would be given to a species with a slightly better track record on taking good care of things. And yet, again and again, God picks humanity. God picks unexpected people, the smallest, the youngest, the least, the peasant, the woman, the unexpected. And God picks us and empowers us to do those jobs. And now while faith is important and faith is our candle, God does not make us do it all on faith. Because with our faith, we are gifted with the Holy Spirit and empowered to do the work. We have access to God's help, and we do not have to do this without God's help, which is part of this that we miss sometimes. It's either a fact that we take for granted and don't remember, or we just forget we can. I hope everyone here is comfortable with the idea that you have access to God and God's power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. With Jesus' birth and death and resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit, God's power is available to us, and we can pray and connect to God anywhere, and God comes to help us. We are not bothering God when we pray and ask, when we have conversations, when we communicate, when we tell God, I am in over my head. I do not know how this is going to work, but I do think you have called me here. God is right there with you. Don't ignore God's power and attempt to do this solo. God loves us and is for us and equips his children. We don't have to do it alone. We do not have to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps in the kingdom of God. None of the heroes of faith do that. Mary and Joseph, I'm sure, did not. But also, don't take God's presence in our life for granted. Don't just be like, la, 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 God's here. This is amazing. God's power and presence is an extraordinary thing, and for most of Scripture, it was limited in location and in access. In the ancient Near East, deities were tied to place. God spends a lot of time in Scripture convincing the people that, like, when they left Egypt, God goes with them out of Egypt. And when they leave Jerusalem and go into exile, God goes with them into exile. It wasn't how it worked. It took a lot of time to realize God wasn't tied to location. And then even then, God was limited in scope, right? The Holy of Holies was for the priest once a year, and then there was a little more access, a little less access for priests, and then for Jewish men, and then for Jewish women, and then for everybody else. So that made God's surprising choices all the more surprising, because it was basically never the priest in the Holy of Holies that God would pick. But that was never the entire plan. That's what the book of Joel tells us in Joel chapter 2, right? I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves, in those days I will pour out my spirit. God's spirit, God's power, was always intended to be available to all, to children and to laborers and to elderly. All would be able to see God. All would have access to God's life-changing power. Note that none of the people on the list are the ones you would expect. There are no priests listed there. There are no kings listed there. There are no prophets listed there. They received the Spirit too. But the ones listed by name are the slaves and the laborers, the elderly, the children. It's an unexpected surprise for it to fall on everyone, but it does. It falls on you and on me, no matter how unexpected and surprising it is. So there's a painting that I found that was supposed to represent that spirit falling in Joel. A little more abstract than our paintings of Joseph and Mary from earlier. But God takes unexpected people, normal people, and uses his spirit to empower them to make them extraordinary, equips them beyond what they think is possible, beyond what anyone around them may think is possible too, because God sees what is on the inside. And God is calling you too with this kind of faith, with the assurance of Mary and the righteousness of Joseph and the power of the Holy Spirit that has fallen on you. Now, I cannot tell you what that call may be to, what task God has laid before you, maybe something to start, maybe something to stop doing, maybe somebody to love, maybe a career change or a pattern or something that you actually know in your heart right now is what God is calling you to do but would really rather not be doing that. I don't know what that is, but I know God is calling you. Especially if you feel like it could never be me. I'm too young, or I'm too old, or I don't have enough money, or I don't have any life experience, or I retired and I thought I was done. God is still calling. God always calls and equips the unexpected. So as we prepare for communion, a time where we meet with God in an intimate way, we're going to take a moment to reflect first. Where might Jesus be calling you? What unexpected thing is happening around you or to those you love? Do you really know that you are chosen and loved and equipped for this life? Because you are. My encouragement for you is to keep the faith and to remember that God, what God has told you is true, and you do not walk this path alone. So let us pray for just a moment. Faithful God, thank you that you are here with us. Thank you that we do not walk this life alone, that you equip us to full measure for all that you have before us. Remind us that we are called and we do not do this alone. Give us faith to keep going. In your name we pray. Amen.